rare take. Hey, everybody, it's Microphones of Madness. I'm Rodney. Over there, Steve.
Hiya.
Let's try this again. Today, we are talking the adventure Chariot of the Gods from the Alien RPG starter set.
And by Free League.
By Free League. And give us a little bit of background on the Alien RPG starter set there, Steve.
Well, Alien RPG effectively simulates the movie Alien really well. I mean, it uses the, like you said, the Year One engine or Year Zero engine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Year
yes.
Zero.
Year zero.
One is Batman. Year Zero is this, which is basically a dice pool. The amount of dice you get depends on your attributes and your skills. And you're just trying to get sixes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the mechanics in a nutshell.
Right.
The rest of the game is basically a slaughterhouse.
Yes. Absolutely. I did do a little bit of research into the Year Zero engine, and Alien RPG seems to be a streamlined version of Year Zero.
Yeah, I've read what's it called? Things from the Flood.
Mm-hmm.
Or Things from the Loop.
Tales from the Loop.
Yeah, and Tales from the Loop and Things from the Flood. Those are the two. Which also use the Year Zero engine, and it simulates different things.
Right.
And I currently have a copy of the PDF for the new One Ring,
mm-hmm.
which Free League also puts out, which also uses the Year Zero engine, but I have not looked into that yet.
Oh. Are you going to get Strider mode to go along with that?
Yes, I plan on getting completely disappointed in yet another solo RPG.
Speaking of Free League and third-party licensed solo RPG material. yeah, now, the box set has everything pretty much you need to play. You need a handful of dice.
Yes.
I think at most I ever rolled like 13 dice, but I know some folks were rolling quite a bit more.
Yeah, so I have the box set. It comes with a foreshortened rule book that basically takes you through the basics of the game,
mm-hmm.
and then the just some of the specifics for the scenario you're going to be using, but it doesn't get into a lot of the ephemera and world building or universe building that the actual rule book gets into.
Right. Which, if you're a fan of the Alien franchise, you pretty much got it. If you've seen the first three films,
well, you pretty much got it. It kind of gives you like all these different planets that mm-hmm. exist and where they are, and it gets a little bit into the political situation of the different factions that are out there, the United Peoples, Weyland Yutani, the Triple Empire. There's a bunch of shit.
Right.
You also get the Chariot of Gods, which is, I thought it was a great scenario. I guess we'll get into that. Two sets of dice, because there are two dice pools in this particular game.
Mm-hmm.
Markers and cards.
Yep.
And a map, a big map.
Right.
So it's actually pretty cool if you want to jump in and play something out of the box. That's what it's there for, and it does a really good job, I think,
mm-hmm.
without having to like memorize a bunch of stuff to do it out on your own.
Right. And the Year Zero engine, in particular, the Alien variant of it, is really quick to pick up on. There's little few odds and ends that you take a little bit of getting used to, but once you've got the core mechanic down, it's off to the races.
Yeah. There's a lot of little ephemera, I guess, what would you call it? Like, usually they call them spot rules.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of little spot rules that you have to remember. But pretty much the mechanic dictates everything.
Right.
And the basic mechanic is you have an ability score and you have a skill score. You add them together and that's how many dice you throw.
Right.
Plus, you have a separate thing to keep track of called your stress. And your stress basically, it increases when you get into sticky situations, when you unload a full clip. There's like different ways you can increase your stress. Think of it kind of like sanity.
Mm-hmm.
In Call of Cthulhu, and your stress level adds dice to this pool, and the only thing you're trying to do is get sixes. Right. One six.
That's all you need. One success.
But if you roll a one on one of the stress die, then you panic.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make a panic roll.
Right.
And that's where it gets hairy. Because
right.
You gain stress like drinking water.
Oh yeah.
It's super easy. You have to push a roll. Let's say you fail a critical roll and you push it, automatically gain a stress. That's how, as a matter of fact, that's how most people, I think, got their initial stress loads, is just by re-rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Pushing the roll. As you accumulate stress, you do have more chances of success. But it comes at that cost of potentially rolling a panic result. But I think it simulates the experience of Alien pretty well. As characters do seem to become more competent as they accumulate stress. But that one panic result can really throw a hamper into your day.
Yeah, it can.
It
really can. To the point where you could be extremely successful on what you were trying to do, but you panic to the point where it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You have results where, like, you could be in the middle of combat and you have to run and hide.
Exactly. Or you just freeze in place.
Right. And combat in this game is pretty fucking deadly.
Yes.
You are, your characters are tissue paper. And the game treats aliens differently than they treat other characters, which is unique, I think, in a role-playing game. Usually everyone's on the same playing field and you just have a lot of hit points you have to deal with, mm-hmm. or a lot of armor that soaks up damage or whatever, but you're still rolling to hit effectively and everyone's doing the same thing. In this game, the alien, each form of alien, has a chart, and you roll 1d6 and just read the chart. And that's what happens. And now, once you do that, you know, let's say it jumps on you and it's a tail lash, right?
Right.
So you're going to get spiked by a tail. It still has to hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's being controlled randomly by what it does because it's alien, right?
Right. Right. So it almost has, it's an RPG with a built-in kind of almost monster AI.
Yes, but when it's attacking you, it's usually attacking with 8 dice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's got like armor of 6. So even if you, with your puny weapons, hit it, you really aren't doing much to it.
Mm-hmm.
It simulates very well, I think. the alien experience so that you are Ripley.
Yeah. there was a couple of moments that really started giving me kind of slasher flick vibes as well. Spectrum Games slasher flick, if you're not in the know, it's a horror movie simulator. Where the aliens seem to be operating almost by a completely different set of rules than the characters do. And centering more on the cinematic, I guess, that theater of the mind sort of presentation there, where, you know, the descriptions of what happens to you are pretty graphic and keeping with the tone of Alien. But yeah, there were points playing through Chariots of the Gods, and that might be part of why they call it cinematic play. When you're using a module, is it did really kind of feel like we were in a film.
It's definitely geared to simulate that. The way it's set up, so, you know, here are the inside things that you're not privy to. The way they set up the scenario is you have your PCs. It's all pre-gens.
Right.
Right. And all the characters have agendas, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have different agendas for the three acts of the scenario.
Right.
Those are your PCs. And then you have NPCs who are a little less fleshed out, I guess.
Right.
And they just have one agenda for the whole thing.
Right.
You get a map, right? You get map. I have a map of the Kronos, right? It's up on the screen right now.
That's right. We if you were watching this on video, you would notice that we are recording through Roll20, and yep, I'm looking at Deck A of the Kronos as we're talking.
Exactly, and that map is key. So you have, it's like old school dungeon map is key, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is in this room. That's in that room. Some of the rooms are more open ended than others, but the key is. The act itself has a series of events,
mm-hmm.
that you, some of them are required, right?
Right.
Some of these things have to happen to push the story along. Some of them are just there to build tension.
Mm-hmm.
So like random monster encounters, like weird stuff that can happen. And that's how it's set up. That's it. And then monster stats and how the monsters for that scenario work.
Right.
But that's it. So you just like go down a list. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll do the other thing. And it chugs along pretty mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, seem really smooth. Didn't really feel like you spent a lot of time looking up things.
The only things I was looking up were like little fiddly rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like spot rules, and you know, that's just something you get used to
right.
when you play it enough. You get used to that kind of right. thing.
Skill like, stunts.
What are the mechanics for a skill stunt? What are the mechanics for your talent?
Mm-hmm.
Like when Wes decided to use the manipulation skill,
mm-hmm.
how does that actually work?
Right.
You know, it's dice pool, but what goes against what for the, and what are the results?
Exactly.
That, just that kind of thing. But in terms of, you know, you just find the room, read what's in the room, let people react to what they see, and there it goes.
Right.
And then, you know, the events happen more or less naturally. I didn't think that anything went out of sequence or was too just like thrown in there. It all seemed pretty organic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with particularly in the pre-generated scenarios, the agendas do give you kind of pointers for role play. They also give you the, if you fulfill a PC's agenda in a particular act, you get a meta currency called story points, and
right.
those are actually given to the player, I believe you said,
mm-hmm.
for use in pretty much any time you sit down to play Alien with the same group or the same GM or whatever, you, the player, get to hold on to those to use.
Right, and it's actually pretty valuable. It allows you to add dice to rolls, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like the big thing. And trust me, that adding one dice to a roll helps a whole hell of a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Especially when all you need is 1-6, but everybody knows how their dice roll. And it doesn't matter if you're rolling 100 D6s. There are times where you just can't get a single one.
Well, that last act, I was rolling these huge 8, 9, 10 dice pools, mm-hmm, and not getting any 6s at all. It would have been bloodier, damn it.
It's bloodier. Wow, it was pretty bloody. Now,
so I actually have a question while we're talking about these agendas.
Sure.
And how, I guess, agency, mm-hmm, plays a big part of role-playing. The big difference between a character and an NPC is player agency. And do you feel that the agenda sacrifices agency for the sake of plot?
Not really. I mean, from my perspective and the character that I was playing, I had these agendas of trying to make more money, trying to come up with some type of, but I really did not think that the opportunities were always there to try. And I think some of the other players in the group, some of the other Monday Night Heroes, had agendas that worked a little bit better when the shit started hitting the fan, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Like you can see how the agendas were meant to fit together, mm-hmm, that certain PCs were meant to be interacting or kind of not really meant, but had a synergy with the agendas of other PCs or some NPCs. So, you know, like Kayla Rye, my character, really should have been the one that was getting like swayed and bribed by the corporate fucks to get the samples.
Right.
But as a technician, we also had to do some technical stuff around the ship. So, you know, that kind of plot point diverged a little bit. Yeah,
it's just in terms of the agendas, what I saw is that Wes kind of had the Wes agenda the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he really played characters that he's used to playing, types that he's used to playing.
Oh, yeah.
He played a number of characters, and all of them were greedy bastards.
Right. But and it's also Alien. That's part and parcel, right, of the
setting. I'm not saying anything. It wasn't a stretch for
right,
Wes.
Right, exactly.
To play. And even like Nico, she played an adrenaline junkie.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big stretch from the type of character she enjoys playing.
Reckless. Right? It's one of her qualities.
You, on the other hand, played against type 100%.
Oh, I did.
And I think it was a little difficult for you. And I think not difficult, just not what you're used to. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you should have just gotten a story point for that. Jesus. But I think if that was something you were more used to, you would have communicated that early.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? And then right, Wes could have like,
right,
glommed onto that, and instead of he was trying to bribe Nick's character, whose agenda, and I don't want to give away shit like this,
right?
Because you should all play this game, but Nick's character's agenda was definitely shadier Well, I won't say shadier, but not as apparent.
Right.
Right.
More mysterious. As,
yes. Obviously. So he was trying to latch onto that. And that might have been just because he was available at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there you go. So yeah, it's a neat idea. And I've seen it happen before. If you remember when we played that, Invictus scenario,
mm-hmm.
and Oscar gave us all little agendas to try and accomplish, right?
Right.
But they were more like optional, like if you have the chance, rescue blah, 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 right?
Right.
Or get my father's blah, blah, blah. This was more like, this is part of your personality. Right, mm-hmm. which is a little deeper than like a nefarious side quest. And I think that these agendas help push the story aspect of this game,
mm-hmm.
maybe sacrificing a little bit for your autonomy.
Yeah, but I suppose so. I see where you're coming from there.
Right, and I don't think you have the same mechanic for campaign play.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are agendas, but I think they're more open.
Right.
Like goal oriented. Anyway, it's just it works really well, I think. I think without these agendas, it wouldn't have been as crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it does sacrifice a little bit of autonomy for your characters and how you want to play them.
Yeah. It definitely is a bit more challenging to try to play to an agenda.
Yeah.
To have an actual goal, because so often in role-playing games, it's completely open-ended, and it's whatever goal is the end of the
kind of
adventure.
What's assigned to you by like a patron or something.
Right. Like,
go out and do this.
Go kick the necromancer's ass.
Okay, we're on it.
Right. And then you have the emergent kind of agendas as you flesh out your character and you come up with something. But having it there from the get-go is like, we're playing through this, and you know, if you're familiar with Alien, you have an idea of what's going to happen.
Right, and it's not
and then
like
you the... have these this other thing that this is another goal for you as a player to accomplish through the playing of your character.
Right, but if you look at those films, the source material.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of that double dealing and selfishness. I mean, that's more or less why shit falls apart in every one of those movies.
Right.
It's not that you're being stalked by an alien. It's you're being stalked by an alien and some guy's trying to capture it and make money off of it.
Right. Yeah. The humans were the monsters all along.
or the androids.
All right. Because the big bad, really, you know, the overall vibe I got while we were playing is that the aliens are not the big bads. Weyland fucking Yutani is
Paul Reiser is the big bad.
Yeah. Weyland Yutani is like the villain here.
I think that is definitely huge, especially in the first two movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's Weyland Yutani has this presence, this off-screen presence that looms over everything. You know, it starts out with the whole argument with shares, right?
Right.
And then you know, through Mother directing them to this. To this signal, the distress call to God damn it, we had his name the other day.
Maritime Law.
The robot.
Oh, the robot.
Bilbo Baggins robot. Fuck. Not Ash. Bishop. Ash. You know, to Ash being like, you know, being the instigator of everything. And behind it all is definitely Weyland Yutani.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever played the alien game, the one on the space station.
Oh, the Isolation?
Yeah.
No, that one I haven't played.
Oh man. You Weyland Yutani isn't like, they're not even part of the equation to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And they're evil as shit in there. There's this one you finally get to your goal of like contacting their AI, right? And trying to figure out what's going on. And you're like, oh fuck, Weyland Yutani just bought the space station. And now you're fucked. And as soon as that happens, you just like, your jaw drops and you're like, oh, we're fucking screwed.
Right. It was Weyland Yutani all along.
Well, I mean, and that's really why those early, well, the early movie, the first movie, and to a certain extent, the second movie worked so much better than like Prometheus.
Mm-hmm.
Alien Colony, whatever.
Resurrection?
No, the one after Prometheus.
Oh. Whatever it was.
Covenant. Because Weyland Yutani is this overwhelming, looming presence that you don't get to interact with, as opposed to, you know, they're right there in Prometheus. It's like, they're there. There's nothing you can do about it. It's like, the CEO of Weyland Yutani is right there. So.
Now, we've discussed how well it does with the setting. Let's talk about gameplay. And one of the things I noticed from session one of Chariot of the Gods is this game goes from zero to batshit insane in like 3.2 seconds. One dice roll is all you need. It's like you're going up a roller coaster, and that one dice roll comes, and it's just like you're at the peak, and it just drops. And it's like, it's on now.
I think you kind of got to do it that way because Alien is such a well-known property that people are going to metagame.
Right.
People are going to be like scared to open doors and the whole nine yards, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you have to be able to combat that somehow because it's a horror game and you have to get down to horror. At right. some point, it's got to be a horror game, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think it has to go batshit crazy pretty quickly so that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you run it slower? I think you can. I think you could have, I could have drawn out the initial going in. But... you know, the first thing you did when you went in was you were like, let's go to the cryo chambers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and so that also kind of forces your hand as well. You know, you guys made the decision to do something that triggers something.
Right.
That is batshit crazy. So there's that. I kind of did want to draw it out a little bit, maybe like have a spore thing happen or whatever, but. Just what happened. I can't tell players what to do.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you board a ship, you look for survivors. I mean, that's
right.
That a little bit of metagaming, I guess. You know, kind of a little bit of traveler influence.
Well,
in.
Also, those are your orders. That just was the least of your orders.
Right.
That was the lowest priority of your orders, but it was definitely in your instructions. So yeah, what are you gonna do? I just want to say that this game went really well for me as a GM. Went really well. I was a little nervous, but you know, despite the fact that it started out at 55 and just went faster and faster from there.
Oh yeah.
I you know.
Yeah, I don't think there was a moment. I don't think there was a moment in the module where anything bogged down. We had a couple of sections that allowed us to breathe a little bit. Mm-hmm. But once we started losing characters, it just kind of snowballed.
Yeah.
Now, another thing, you know, you mentioned agendas. Another thing that you had with the pre-generated characters is that there were relationships. You have a buddy and you have a rival or an enemy. And I think that also gives you some good direction as far as role playing. I remember reading my character sheet when I got it and realizing who the enemy character was, and I was like, this is a cakewalk. This is gonna be simple. Yeah, you know, my character's enemy was Wes's character, and I know how Wes plays characters. And yeah. I knew which character he was playing, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is gonna be easy to get into character. As you know, I think the first thing I said was "fuck you, Miller." in response to the whole we're raising the vending machine prices.
That's hilarious.
And it was natural. It was a natural sort of thing, you know, to, and I guess in a way that was kind of metagaming too, because, you know, aliens rated R. So why wouldn't the first line my character says be "fuck you, Miller"?
Yeah. No, I thought it was great. I thought you guys did really well in terms of the role playing.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel forced, and it wasn't like sometimes Wes will get to the point where he says the same things all the time,
right?
And you're just kind of like, okay, we're gonna get into a loop here. And I don't think we got that,
right?
I mean, and we might not have. Well, A, no characters really survive long enough for that right. to happen.
Right.
I'm sure if it was a longer game, that probably would have happened. Now, as a scenario, as a short, you know, one shot kind of thing, I thought this was great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I would feel about a campaign of this, though.
Right.
Because the unique thing about Alien is, you know, you get into a situation where it's people versus alien, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, there's corporate shenanigans and blah, blah, blah. But to have that happen over and over and over and over and over.
Right, right. There's, I mean, you can't do Alien of the Week. I mean, how many xenomorphs can one crew encounter?
Right.
And if it's just shipping, you might as well be playing Traveler.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if you're just going to like mine ore and haul it back, play a game that's designed for that.
Mm-hmm.
There is like ship to ship combat in the core book, the regular book,
right.
Big book, whatever. And, you know, there's rules for that. And, you know, there's a whole book so you can play Marines and have Marine stuff.
Right.
But you know, even that.
I don't know. I it's
are really you going to, I mean, I don't know if I'd want to like be like clearing out planets of aliens every time. I mean, but the Colonial Marines are usually there to suppress colonies,
right?
And shit like that. So yeah, I mean, you'd be playing like bad people,
right? Right. You know, and if and honestly, you know, that particular type of scenario, you might as well, in my mind, you might as well play like Wrath and Glory or something, and be just go full into it.
So that's the thing, is like you can do that with Traveler. If you use Mercenary,
mm-hmm.
you can put together a, you know, a private military organization and hire yourself out to Banana Republic, so to speak.
Right.
There's plenty you can do there, and Traveler probably, you know, does it better,
mm-hmm.
because that's not what Alien is focused on. I mean, if you play Alien, you kind of want to play
Alien.
Aliens.
Right. You want to play that sci-fi horror. It's really hard for me to think of Alien RPG as this wider science fiction setting, you know,
right.
where you take on the role of characters, you know, trying to survive out in the black. You know, that'd be more something like The Expanse or Traveler or
right.
or something along those lines.
Right. I think the way Mothership approaches it, and I don't know if they're still approaching it this way,
mm-hmm.
Because now there's going to actually be Mothership, you know, a system,
mm-hmm.
not just like the pamphlets and do it yourself. You know, Mothership definitely has that one and done kind of feel to everything.
Right.
And I think that this is kind of like a one and done game to me.
Right.
You know, okay. So we played it. We played this scenario. It was great. Are we going to play the next one? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be different characters. That and it ultimately has nothing to do with you know, what happened here.
Right.
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 So I just don't see campaign play for this.
Right. Like there's a certain amount of sandboxiness and continuity, you know. And yeah, Alien doesn't really seem like it's the setting to write something like Tales of the Laughing Fishwife, where we played for a year and a half. I mean, you know, I don't know if Alien right. has a year and a half worth of continual play in it.
I don't think it does. And I think it's, you know, half the fun is watching your characters bite the dust.
Right.
In interesting ways.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so that's the pros and the cons. I mean, the pros is, you know, with the quote-unquote cinematic play, or even if you sit down and you come up with a short adventure, you turn around and you have 4 or 5 sessions, something like that. You get the adventure done, and you move on to something else. You know, it's not going to be your go-to game for playing all the time.
Right. It's definitely a fun kind of thing to play. But now, just being familiar with the rules for Tales from the Loop, that kind of has the same feel to me. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Right.
And maybe this system lends itself very well to what it does, but it limits itself.
Mm-hmm.
It limits what you can do with it, because you're simulating a very narrow scope
mm-hmm.
of you know, of what a role-playing game is. Right.
Right.
It's very oriented to what it does,
mm-hmm.
and it does it really well.
Now, perhaps that is by design, that it's almost become a meme that a group of players, you know, your whatever campaign you're playing, whether it's, you know, Traveler or the world's you know, most popular fantasy role-playing game, et cetera, et cetera, you know, your meetings aren't going to end up being regular. And so something like Alien or Tales from the Loop might be more there to fill the niche of a filler game. Like, oh, the cleric's not coming tonight, so we're not doing Tomb of Horrors. But everybody else will be here. Let's do Chariot of the, let's do Alien. Because it does lend itself well to picking up and playing quite easily.
Yes.
I haven't created a character from scratch yet, but it seems like it's fairly straightforward and can be like Mork Borg or something like that, that it can be done in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I think that it's probably a little bit more involved than Mork Borg,
mm-hmm.
In terms of rules. Right. Well, it definitely is. Like, there's what, two rolls in Mork Borg?
Right. Roll a 12. Don't roll a 12.
I think it's a little bit more involved, but the way the scenarios are set up, you know, it's basically background, map. These are the things that happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it definitely can be done with less preparation than you would need for something a little bit more elaborate.
Right, right. But I think
playing out of the box as opposed right. to, you come up with your own shit. You come up with your own shit.
Right. There's still, prep time and all that other stuff. But yeah, I think it does really lend itself well to filling that niche of the interstitial game. Something between campaigns, something between sessions.
Nice way of putting it. Which is more or less what we use it for.
Right. Exactly. As we're gearing up for another module. So, if you're interested in some sci-fi horror, you can do much worse than the Alien role-playing game.
That's true.
And if you're a fan of the franchise, you're a fan of the Year Zero system, definitely worth checking out. If you need that kind of interstitial game, grab the starter box and, hit the ground running. And just remember, in space, no one can hear you scream.
And in space, you need a hell of a lot of D6s.
That's right. So that does it for Alien RPG. In fact, I'll have the Chariot of the Gods playthrough posted in its entirety by the time you guys hear this. So you can check out our playthrough. You can check this retrospective out in either order. So, and until next time...
Balls. Spaceballs.
Spaceballs. The flamethrower.
You had one.
Yep, sure did.